Hey, Graceville Presbyterian Church, it's Mikey Todd from Providence in Sunnybank. It's great to be with you today. It's such a privilege to be able to bring God's Word. It was nice that Rohan could invite me back to bring God's Word to you all. I'm excited for this one. Psalm 23 is such a helpful text for us to meditate on and to spend time in, especially during what's going on in the world at the moment. How about I pray for us so we can get into it now, hey? Father God, we do thank you for your Word. We thank you that you speak to us through it, and we pray that as we understand the text and understand who the great shepherd is, that you'll comfort our hearts and you'll convict our hearts on how we can bring all our causes, all our issues before the foot of the cross, before Jesus. So we do pray that you'll remind us of that truth today and bring us comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. This last week, I've been thinking a lot about leadership, especially world leaders. I came across an article in Al Jazeera about how different world leaders have responded to the pandemic. When the illness first came out, was detected in December in China, you would have heard of maybe conspiracies, but the president, Xi Jinping, wanted to silence doctors. He didn't want them to sound the alarm in the early days of the outbreak. Over in the US, we have a president, Donald Trump, who's calling it the Chinese virus. But you've heard how he's downplayed it over the first few weeks. He said the virus would just disappear. He dismissed growing concerns. Only recently, he's actually changed tack after seeing the rising stats in the US and the warnings that the death toll could substantially rise even more if strict conditions weren't in place. Down in Brazil, the president there continues to dismiss the illness as a fantasy and a little flu. Over in Indonesia, the president admitted to withholding the information to prevent panic. And early on was told that, it's warmer in Indonesia, so there's less likely to be an outbreak. Down in Mexico, the president held political rallies in March. And you know what? He was seen kissing his supporters, urging Mexicans to live life as normal. Now, I get it. I miss giving bro hugs to the guys at church, but, you know, this guy needs to keep his lips to himself. You know, what we've been seeing is leaders really downplaying what's happening, denying it, delaying it. Some leaders are using this as an opportunity to take authoritarian measures and make covert power grabs even. It's tragic. And we've seen now over 2 million people worldwide infected. But there are some great leaders as well, leaders that are being applauded for their responses over in New Zealand, Singapore, South Korea. They've been applauded with their quick and transparent responses. I don't know what you think about our country's response. You know, there are mixed feelings on how we initially responded, but, you know, I've thought to myself many times, I do not envy the Prime Minister's job, especially during this time of crisis. It would be very, very stressful, don't you think? I mean, from bushfires to now COVID-19 in Australia, more than ever, it's a time of fear, anxiety, even possible recession. People will be looking to you for confidence. Now, while you get the good and the bad amongst the world leaders, who would you want to be in charge of our world? Who would you be able to have full confidence in on the spectrum of good leaders and bad leaders? Which leader would be able to promise you safety and security? I think when we come to Psalm 23, we're seeing a leader that we can have full confidence in. That even amongst the fears of life and death, there is one we can have our full comfort and security in, one we can depend on, one that will put his own life on the line. You can guarantee refuge and rest. Psalm 23 talks about a God who fulfills precisely that. A God who is who wants our best, who leads us and wants our best, who gives us security and safety, and one who provides a place of rest for us. And they're the three things we're going to look at today. You know, whether we're cruising through life or whether we're walking through the darkest of valleys. I know we're on a spectrum of how we're feeling during this time, but Psalm 23, it tells us about a God who we can confidently follow through all seasons. It's no surprise that this is probably the Bible's most famous psalm. You know, it's the one that people in and outside of church know about. It's a psalm that it's the funeral psalm. It's one that, understandably, it provides comfort to those who are grieving. It's one that gives us security, that our souls are secure in the hands of God. And it's precisely that tone that King David, the author of this psalm, he shares it with us, that tone. He writes Psalm 22 before, and this Psalm 23 is on the tail end of that. Psalm 22, if you know, there's a famous line in, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so he's writing Psalm 23 as a response to that distress and fear that you feel in Psalm 22. we can come before God, and Psalm 23 tells us we can depend on this great shepherd. And that's how these first, the first three verses begins with. Let's read it again, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now this is King David. If you don't know your Bibles at all, King David, he was king of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. They were God's people. He was a very prominent figure in the history of Israel. And he writes this for us. Kings, in that context, in that culture, they don't have a position of leading people, right? Like kings lead and govern, but they also go out into battle before us. They lead the people, they make decisions. They're like shepherds, essentially. And so David, he's writing to a culture, a people who understand this language. They were an agrarian culture, right? A time of farming, cultivating the land, that's their culture. And so he's using this language. He calls God his shepherd. Another way of saying, this is the leader, the king. And it's not just the shepherd. God is my shepherd. God leads David. It's very personal language, intimate. God is David's king. God is David's leader. A personal relationship. God is the one behind the throne of David. And in David's eyes, God is the true leader of Israel, essentially. The one that even David himself bows to, even the one that David calls his great shepherd. So everyone's looking at David as their shepherd, but David's like, no, I'm just an under-shepherd of the greater shepherd. Great king, God. He's saying he's sheep as well in the care of the great shepherd. He needs God to lead him. It's very humbling, isn't it? David is humbling himself before God with these opening verses. But he also speaks about where the shepherd leads. You see, being in the Middle East, reading this, thinking about the landscape you're in, you're thinking very dry, deserty, mountainous, rocky. Shepherds have to lead their flocks far and wide to find streams of water and lush green pastures. Just picturing green pastures and still waters. I mean, it sounds like an oasis, doesn't it? God leads David, and he leads us as God's people where we can be refreshed, to a place where we can be refreshed, where we can find restoration for our weary souls. I had the privilege to travel to New Zealand in my early 20s, but there's a reason why in New Zealand it's known to be a place that has a lot of sheep, right? We all know that. It's what's famous for, essentially, besides The Hobbit. But, it's famous. It's known for that because if you look around, if you drive around in New Zealand, there's just green pastures everywhere you drive. It's as far as the eye can see. It's so scenic. It's so lush. I mean, if you were a sheep living there, I imagine it'd be like a 5-star hotel. You'd be living in the Bahamas or something. It might sound really strange to us. But when it says he makes us to lie down in green pastures, for a sheep, that means lying down on a bed of food. I mean, that's what sheep get to experience. They eat, sleep, wake up, eat, sleep, repeat. It's a picture of abundance and provision. You're lying on your bed of food. God is a God who provides for his people. It's having your every need met so you lack nothing. It's a picture of a shepherd who spiritually leads us and sheep who are dependent on that shepherd to provide. And I love this. He leads us down paths of righteousness, paths that are right. Our souls are restored. He spiritually restores us. So for the weary hearted, I know we carry our anxieties, don't we? Our stress, our burdens. We feel the weight of meeting expectations or not meeting expectations and putting on a brave face. We take it. We take it in. Our souls are tired. We're exhausted. Exhausted of the broken world out there and exhausted of the brokenness within. See, in Psalm 23, it tells us we're able to give ourselves over to God, to trust in his leadership, and that he will provide for us. He will restore us. Because in the end, every decision we make, wise or unwise, achievement or mistake, it's within God's sovereign control. It's within his great providence. We can rest at his feet. Your fate is in the hands of the great shepherd. He will lead us. He will lead us to green pastures where our souls will be refreshed. But David is also honest, and he's living in the present as well, isn't he? He knows that green pastures aren't always green, but it's still okay. It's going to be okay with God around, because he'll have security and comfort. God is the one who will bring that. The next few verses, it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, as soon as I read this, like, it reminded me of the lyrics to an old rap song by Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise, back in 1995. That's what it reminded me of, right? But when I thought about that song, Coolio is all about growing up in the hood, the ghetto, the bad neighborhood. He's talking about living in a place where you could get shot at any moment. There's danger around every corner, death on your doorstep, right? Now, I don't understand that. Like, I grew up in Brisbane. But David, when he writes this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, Coolio, when he wrote those rap lyrics, he's thinking about this. There's danger around every corner. Right? For David, it's the keeping the imagery of sheep in our minds. It's being led through a dark valley. I mean, there are bandits hiding around the corner. There are predators, dangerous animals, the enemy. They could just jump out and attack. But there is no fear. No one's scared. The sheep aren't scared. We've got God leading us. We've got God, his rod and his staff, the shepherd's weapons of choice, essentially. We know God has got our back. He protects us. There are valleys that we're going to face in life. I mean, some of us are feeling it right now. There is so much uncertainty around the corner. We're feeling the anxiety of our future. Pandemic or not, sometimes there are nights where fear grips us, where worry overwhelms us, where anxiety takes hold and our insecurities go haywire. I mean, we all have those valleys in life, even whether we're living in a pandemic or not. They cause great sorrow, events that bring us heartache and pain. They're the lows in life, the valleys that we walk through. But you see, we have a picture of a God who not only leads us and gives us refreshment, he protects, he comforts, he gives us security amongst all that insecurity. Yeah, it might be job insecurities. It might be self-worth or self-esteem, social and friendship insecurities. I've been there. Romantic, relationship, spousal insecurities. I've been there. Whatever it may be, God says you can be secure when you're in my presence. We can find that comfort and security in the presence of the God who shepherds us. We have nothing to fear. God will guide us and he will protect us. I mean, the valleys we face, David knows this, they're only temporary. He knew that even if we died, God would lead our souls to a place that lasts forever. The kingdom ruled by God himself. You know, and in the present, David knew, even in the darkest of valleys, God is there too. When we're faced with death, we're going to find comfort in all our troubles. Now think about that. For King David, he has everything at the end of his fingertips. He's got his kingdom, his palace, his possessions, his spouse, his friends that comfort him. But none of that gives him true security. How humbling is that? He started from the bottom, now he's here. He was a shepherd boy, himself protecting a flock before his journey to becoming a king. But his comfort isn't in the things that he's come to accumulate, those he's possessed, or even the title of king, that reputation. His security and comfort is in the shepherd over his life. It's God. You see, David is able to look past the transient, the temporary in this life, and sees instead his God, his shepherd, his leader, his king, who will not fail him, who will not disappoint him, who he finds perfect security and comfort in. Friends, I wonder, what is it that you're finding your confidence in? Is it your beauty, your bank account, your family, the house you've bought, the career that you've always wanted? I mean, We hope to find our confidence in all those things. We hope to have it all together all the time. But when we start looking at the circumstances, we start losing confidence, don't we? There are things that are out of control in the external around us. There are days where we might have to face that termination contract when we least expect it, to face injury or sickness when we've been trying so hard to stay healthy and fit and stick to our diets. I mean, it's such a struggle, isn't it, to find comfort or confidence from our world. Think about the world leaders that I mentioned earlier. There's something going on in the news with the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the funding that's been cut by the US. They're losing confidence in the WHO, right? Take a couple of weeks ago, the case of George Pell, and it's still going on in the news, obviously. Those who were on the side of the guilty, thinking he was guilty, they would have felt a huge injustice when he was released from prison. I don't know personally if he's guilty, but I do know people would have lost a ton of confidence in the justice system. I mean, the Department of Justice is meant to be is the heart of the whole system. It's to provide order and security. But let's be honest, there's always going to be a mix of justice and injustice in the system. And although while the justice system is put in the hands of flawed human beings who have to make really hard decisions on hard cases, I have full confidence in my God, who is my shepherd, the one who fights for justice. He's the one who goes ahead and he's the one who protects. He's the one who leads. You see, it's not a promise that God won't give us valleys. There will be valleys. God isn't going to lead us around the mountainside, around as if we're going to only live through the highs in life. Valleys are there for all of us to experience. They're there for us to point us back to Him. How great and sovereign He is. How great a leader He is. You know, we go through the valley so we can be pointed back to His goodness, back to His good and powerful hands. I know valleys suck. We know that, you know, we've experienced it before when relationships, you know, friendships are non-existent, when that job goes bust, you're finding life in general just directionless. I get it. It's hard. And we're all going through something hard right now. We're feeling it. The darkness of it. We're cooped up in a house with our anxieties. But the darkness of having no social life or loving or having someone love us for comfort. All the places we've once found our security in has been removed because of this pandemic. God shows us again and again as He leads us through these valleys. He is the great shepherd. And from His hand comes the green pastures, the still waters that restore, comfort, and give security for our souls. Friends, we aren't alone. And while King David could trust his God, we on this side of the cross, man, can't we even trust God more so? We've seen that God kept His word to not only protect, but to save His people. I can have confidence in my security, not just through wishful thinking, because I've seen and experienced the presence of God through the way He's gone ahead of me. You see, He experienced the darkest valleys for me. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to experience the darkness on the cross. His Son took the penalty, the wrath of God, on my behalf. The Son of God who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He walked ahead before you and before me. And so we can walk through the valleys. We don't need to avoid them. God's not going to remove them straight away. The valleys point us to God. And they're going to point us to God to rely less on ourselves and more on Him. As we go on in this psalm, David, he shifts gears a bit. He doesn't talk about God in the third person. He addresses Him directly. It becomes a prayer, really, of praise and thanks. And he acknowledges God is the one who's going to welcome him in. He's going to welcome us in to His house. He says this, "You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." See, God doesn't only provide and comfort us. He intimately and personally welcomes us in. He hosts us at His table. See how He talks directly to God? "I get to sit now at your table. Even though I sit among my enemies, they see me dining and enjoying the overflow of goodness that I get to experience in your presence." You see this picture of anointing the head with oil and a cup overflowing? That's one of blessing, a picture of blessing and a picture of abundance. Again, God wants that for us. He invites us. We get this picture of adoption here where we get to be included in His family. We get to enjoy His presence. But even greater is the assurance behind this. The very assurance of the salvation and goodness of God in our lives that David can say, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Friends, have you ever thought about that? We get to experience God's presence forever. He's the one in whom we can find eternal security, eternal comfort, eternal rest. Our solace, our shield, our solitude, forever. All the pains and sufferings of this world will be gone. There's a great confidence, isn't there? A great contentment that David has with God in this psalm. that through all seasons of life, through every valley, and for eternity, that simply being in the presence of God, he knows that that will be his great refuge, his great salvation. Do we have that same confidence? That we can be in the presence forever, that contentment, knowing our lives are secure in his hands. You see, David, in the psalm, he's really pointing us forward to the great shepherd that we know in Jesus. If I can point you to John chapter 10, let me read these verses for you. John chapter 10 from verse 11, it says this. Jesus is speaking, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Right, just those few verses, it indicates, doesn't it, clearly who our great shepherd actually is. It's Jesus. He's the one who will lay down his life for the sheep. He will walk through every valley and care and comfort us. Isn't that a comfort that he's walked before us? Isn't it a comfort that he knows all things? He knows what lurks around every corner, and we can trust in his sovereign hand. Even when life looks like it's, or our situation looks like it's falling apart, even if we're living through a pandemic in 2020, all this isn't a surprise to God. And while it might seem like this is the worst thing that could ever happen to us, it's not. There's a greater global pandemic that's infected our world. It's sin. You know, and sin is the great enemy that Jesus has dealt with already at the cross. That's why he died on the cross. He provided a way to God. He walked through the valley. He removed sin. He's raised again to remove sin and conquer sin. He's the cure for it. And through removing sin, putting our faith and trust in him, he invites us to have a seat at the table of God. The God that David himself worships and speaks about, the one that David says is his leader, is his king, is his shepherd. It's the same one that we worship in Jesus. We get to be in his presence because of his of the cross and the resurrection. Do we understand that? Do we know that? Do we believe that? You know, we as David, we can say that we can dwell in his house forever. And I know that sounds difficult to want at this moment when we're all in lockdown and we're all sick of being at home, but the house of God is so much greater than the four walls of our homes. It's a description of heaven. I mean, heaven's described in so many ways. It's a garden, it's a city, it's a house. But one thing we can look forward to about being in this house with God is we get to be part of his family. We get to call him Father, we get to know him and be in his presence forever, enjoying every blessing, enjoying being in the presence of the source of every blessing himself. That's something we can all look forward to. The promise of the gospel of Jesus, the confidence we have when we put our faith and trust in the greater shepherd. So what will it look like? What will it look like for you and for me to know this great shepherd, Jesus, during this time? I think the first implication from this is knowing that we're loved, embracing that. I know many of us might feel alone, but we're not alone during this time of separation. We actually get to have God and we can come before him and know that we're loved. Nothing can separate us from that. No pandemic can separate us from the great love of the great shepherd, Jesus. I mean, we read about that in Romans 8, don't we? I'll just read a small section from verse 37. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, do you know you're dearly loved in Jesus? It's in love that he shepherds us. It's in love he provides, he comforts, he invites us in. He calls us to follow him in trust. He wants our best. Knowing we're sheep, we're easily led astray, aren't we? He wants us to know the great love that leads us to green pastures. in this life, in the next. I know sometimes we might not feel worthy of his love. We want to hide away from him. We feel like we're not good enough. But Jesus doesn't ask us to reach a set of criteria to be his sheep. I mean, the only requirement is that you're aware that you're not good enough, that we're not worthy. And like David, to humble ourselves in trust that he is our king and he is our great shepherd. I know many of us will be tempted to find love and comfort elsewhere during this time. The temporary, the idols, the things that vie for your heart and promise you immediate pleasures, the drink, the sex, the porn, the constant binge watching of Netflix or your gaming addiction, whatever other vice that draws your attention away to numb the pain from living and trusting God. I know this is a time of hibernation for many of us. And sometimes the danger with that is that we'll press pause on everything. The pause on the mission God has put us on. We'll hit pause on loving others. We'll hit pause on spending time with God in prayer and in the scriptures. I know the temptations. I'm in the same boat as the rest of you. We're all in lockdown. But where do we look for the love and comfort and contentment in our lives? Know you're dearly loved. Know that you can drink from the well of love in Jesus that refreshes our weary souls. Friends, let me encourage you to discover the depths of his love for you. But the second implication that I want us to consider is knowing that he's our shepherd and that he loves us, what will it look like to have a life that actually depends on him as well? Trusting in him. You see, we're not following him like he's some spiritual guru. He's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our God. What does it look like trusting him, whether we're walking through dark valleys or we're cruising in the green pastures of life, through the highs of life? It's something I want us to consider. I think dependency on God, it is really countercultural to what we've been taught or raised. I mean, people say, I don't need God, I'm independent. You know, I don't need God to be a crutch for me to lean on. But I think he's so much more than that. He's the very path and foundation that I walk upon. He guides me and leads me where life and purpose is found. We're raised to be independent, and that's a good thing in our world. We need to learn to be self-sufficient to survive. But as we grow up and grow in independence and responsibility, life experiences, what do we discover? We discover that there are so many things that no matter how independent we are, we have no control over. We need God. The valleys in life are there for us to cultivate our trust and joy in the shepherd who leads us. And the more we understand ourselves in our broken and sinful hearts, the more we understand our world and the foolishness we chase after, the more we need to grow in trust and depend on God. The more we need to see that there is one in control of the external around us. It's in his sovereign loving hands we can joyfully lay our lives down in safety. Depend on him. Trust him as our shepherd. Know that you're loved. Follow him and trust him in dependence, knowing that he wants the best for us, whether we're cruising in life or whether we're walking through the darkest of valleys. As we reflect on this psalm, how are you responding to this great shepherd? Who or what are you turning to in these times of disappointment or discontentment or just fear and anxiety and uncertainty? Will they ultimately satisfy? Will they bring you comfort, rest, security that you need today, the rest and security that you need into eternity? I want you to know that knowing Jesus, the great shepherd who laid down his life for you, provides the greatest comfort you will ever need. Because no matter what valley you find yourself in, your final destination for eternity will be the green pastures and the streams of water. Ultimate rest, ultimate peace, ultimate security. We live in light of that future hope, friends. What or who could possibly promise more? And while our faith in world leaders or the current economy or our own fragile bodies is causing fear and uncertainty, this crisis our world is facing is really challenging us, isn't it? It's challenging us to consider what faith truly looks like. Faith isn't going to be solid when it's in our world leaders. It's not going to be solid in our horoscopes or the universe or some sort of unknown deity, but rather faith in Christ, trusting the good shepherd in his resurrection and the life that we gain from him. Only Jesus is in control of the situation. He promises to guide us through the storm. Psalm 23 calls us to trust and find comfort, reminding us to have faith and have our fears stilled as we follow him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that we are not masters of our fate. We aren't captains of our destiny. You are the one who's in control. You are the one who's sovereign. And Lord, as we have to navigate through these waters, these times of hardship, uncertainty, where we're anxious, where there are many fears of what tomorrow brings, I do pray, Lord, that we'll be able to trust and follow the Good Shepherd, that we'll be able to depend on him, rely on him, know that we're loved by him. Whether it's a pandemic or not, Lord, help us to lay our lives before the cross and know that it's in Jesus we can have eternity with you. We can be in your presence. We can lie down in green pastures and by still waters. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and for leading us and calling us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.